Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday afternoon. In a vote yesterday, Wisconsin's first modern streetcar got a small push forward from the Milwaukee Common Council. 9 of the 15 members voted to support the project, but opponents then voted it somewhat complicated to reconsider the item, which sets up a final council approval sometime in the next few weeks. Opponents are hoping that that extra time will allow them to gather enough signatures to seek a referendum on this issue. Mayor Barrett has said this issue is about the future of this city and what your view is about the future of this city. Millennials are moving to cities and spurring economic growth, and he wants to attract them with a strong public transit system. So why is there such resistance to this project? It is right now going to be a downtown route. There are hopes that it could be expanded in the future to include more of a city emphasis to the airport, maybe to Waukesha. But there is tremendous resistance to the project, and we'll be talking about that, why transit projects in general are hard to get off the ground. The president of the Public Policy Forum here in Milwaukee is joining us in our Milwaukee studios. Later in the hour, Eric Jaffe will give us a perspective of what's going on in other big cities. He's a senior associate editor at City Lab, where he writes about transportation. This is a very big issue in the city of Milwaukee. I'm sure many of you who are listening in this area are following it, and many of you have strong thoughts about public transit and the role that it should play in cities. Some of you might think it's too expensive. Some of you think that Milwaukee may be way behind the curve when it comes to building a viable and vibrant public transit system. Rob Henkin, president of the Public Policy Forum, is here. He worked also in Milwaukee County government for a number of years, director of research for the county board, director of health and human services, administrative services as well. He has directed two nonprofits, the Alliance for Future Transit and the Milwaukee Jobs Initiative. He worked in D.C. for 7 years on Capitol Hill as a senior aide to two congressmen and also a staff director for a House of Representatives Foreign Affairs Subcommittee. He's an adjunct associate professor at the University of Wisconsin's Milwaukee's School of Architecture and Urban Planning, where he teaches transportation policy. We'll be welcoming phone calls for Rob. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Hello, Rob. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
The issue that just keeps giving year after year after year after year in the city. We've talked about some version of this for, I don't know, 20 years, more than 20 years.
This is correct. 1991 was when we were given a gift from the federal government of $289 million at the time to modernize our mass transit system in Milwaukee County. And arguably, we've gone backwards since then.
Yeah, we don't have a real efficient mass transit system in Milwaukee. Tell me where we are right now. What happened this week? What is the proposal? It's a streetcar proposal that's not huge. And what was the vote that took place?
So it is a streetcar proposal on the table. And I think it's important as we discuss this matter to also talk about how a streetcar differs from, say, light rail, which was the proposal back in the 90s, which we will. But essentially, the proposed streetcar route is about 2.3 miles long. There was a proposal before the Common Council to essentially establish the tax incremental financing districts and the TIF authority to put up roughly $59 million of city funds to match $55 million of federal money that is still the one remnant from that original $289 million that I mentioned. So that will require Common Council approval. If the approval occurs, then construction could potentially begin later this year. What happened at the council yesterday was that indeed a majority of the Common Council approved moving forward, but there was a parliamentary procedure that was undertaken that essentially delays the vote one more time, and there was an opportunity to do that one more time until I believe February 10th when this will come up again.
And that gives people enough time to get signatures for a referendum on this? Is that right?
Yeah. So off to the side, several of the opponents of the streetcar plan have launched a petition drive, and there is a potential opportunity, if sufficient signatures are gathered, to essentially override any action of the Common Council and instead take this matter to the citizens of the city of Milwaukee. The proposal would be to say that any rail transit project that would require an expenditure of $20 million or more of city funds would have to go to referendum. And so there would be a referendum on whether that legislative provision should actually take place. And questionable if there's a vote at the same time to approve the streetcar, so it's already approved, would that even be effective in blocking it? So it's a very complicated matter. But suffice it to say that there is this petition drive going on, and I think things are still up in the air.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back just a little bit. What is amazing to me in this city, and I've lived here for almost 40 years now, is the lack of widespread metropolitan great mass transit, or going to Waukesha County, too, for people who live in the city who may have jobs out there and maybe don't have cars. And I'm just astounded that when I think of other cities that have something that's much better than we have, I don't understand the history here. Why isn't there a really top-notch mass transit system for all of this area?
You know, I think it's a tough question, and I've been on the front lines of this for the past 20 years. I moved to Milwaukee at the time when some business leaders had formed a group to do public education on this matter because of the fact that we had $289 million and what a golden opportunity to use it thoughtfully and wisely and do something for our future. I think one of the primary issues here in Milwaukee that distinguishes us from other metro areas is that transit tends to be viewed here as more of a social service as opposed to a transportation service. We have very few choice riders in our transit system. You look at a city like Boston, where I grew up, or Washington, D.C., where I lived for several years, and I think one of the nice things about taking the T or the Metro is the diversity of people you see. You see white collar, you see blue collar, you see all types of racial minorities, etc. Here, more than many other places, individuals who ride the bus tend to be people who really have no other choice. They either can't afford or for other reasons don't own or can't operate a car. And so they're using transit. And there's not that widespread appeal across different demographic groups. In a city like Boston, transit is not a Democrat versus a Republican issue. And I think part of the reason why is that such a greater proportion of the population uses it. My father did not take the T to work from our suburban home in Newton to downtown Boston every day, but he did, and we did take it to go to Red Sox games and Celtics games. And here you just don't see that as much. I think there's less of an appreciation, and I think this is viewed here in Milwaukee as, why should I, my public taxpayer dollars, be invested in a service that I don't need and am never going to use? I'm not saying that's the fact. I'm saying that's the perception.
So what we're looking at is a relatively small downtown Milwaukee streetcar. You may as well explain, what is the difference between a streetcar and light rail?
Sure. And so I actually want to go back to your previous question, because you're absolutely right in terms of the type of a comprehensive transit system that we lack, that other places have, that connects suburban commuters with their downtown jobs, that does the reverse, connects central city workers with suburban jobs, and is used throughout a broader region. Very importantly and decidedly, this streetcar is not that. This is a very, very small piece of what could and arguably should be a comprehensive approach to transit. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing it, but I think it's very important to understand what this streetcar is. It's designed to move people around the downtown area effectively and efficiently. And we could certainly use this technology to go a little bit beyond downtown. We could go up to UWM potentially, south to the airport, perhaps west to Miller Park. But if you were really intent on connecting downtown with, say, the Milwaukee County grounds, or even further out into Waukesha County, you would not want to use the streetcar technology. Mm-hmm. Instead, you'd want to use, if you wanted to use rail transit as opposed to buses, you would use light rail. Light rail, heavier vehicles, typically two or three light rail cars linked together to give you more capacity to take greater numbers of commuters with one driver. Light rail tends to achieve higher speeds. In fact, in some areas where there's a reserve right-of-way, light rail trains can go 50 to 60 miles per hour. A streetcar is not going to do that. So the station locations would be spread further apart. So really a different approach. Now, that's an approach that could potentially be a substitute for a streetcar. There are light rail lines that have three or four different downtown stops. In fact, our original light rail proposal in the 1990s would have done that. But at the same time, light rail could potentially be a complement to a streetcar that could fill some gaps in where light rail can serve, because light rail tends not to be as often up on city streets, though it can be. It's typically would be something that maybe you'd see down in the Menominee Valley, for example. So really different types of approaches. It depends, really, I think a better way to look at things. We've had this age-old argument in this community about rail versus buses. To me, the conversation ought to be about local transit versus express transit versus rapid transit. And right now, we have our bus system does a reasonably good job in terms of local transit within the city of Milwaukee. We have recently added some express routes, which means stations further apart, a little bit of a faster service. The trade-off there is you might have to walk a little longer to your bus stop. What we have always lacked in this community is a rapid transit element, where the stations are even a greater distance apart, where you're using mass transit for those longer distance commutes.
And is this fair to say, or is it too simplistic, that this discussion about where federal funds are going to go kind of breaks down to some people who would like to see more money going into mass transit and others who have a preference for roads and want federal money going for road construction?
So we tend to set up the debate that way, mm-hmm. and so you'll hear it argued that way. But I think you'll hear the mayor in this case very forcefully respond that in this particular instance, the $55 million that is left is very specifically earmarked for a downtown streetcar. So the notion that if we decide not to do a streetcar, that this money could be diverted into widening I-94 is simply not true. It would take an act of Congress in order to do something like that. So right now, and this has always traditionally been viewed as transit money, right now, very specifically a downtown streetcar. So if you wanted to shift the money into the bus system, that would take an act of Congress to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So in the very bigger picture on a national level and at a state budget level, we do have. There's obviously limited resources, and to the extent that you would that some might want to spend large amounts of resources on transit, that could have an impact on highway budgets at the state or federal level. But in this particular case, it's not an either or. It's either we do the streetcar and use the $55 million for that purpose, or we send the money back to Washington, or a third option, which the mayor has suggested is not realistic, is to go back to Congress one more time. We've already been back to Congress a few times on this original pot of money. Go back one more time and ask if we can use it for something else.
Mayor Barrett has talked about making the city attractive to millennials, the number of young people who are living here and working downtown. Would a downtown streetcar make much difference in their lives? How would that make their lives better and make them want to move here?
You know, it's a good question. It's a subjective question. I guess the way I would respond is that I think that the broader vision for the streetcar, if indeed we are able to build 4 to 6 to 8 miles of streetcar and to get at least to Brady Street and to the Fifth Ward and out to Marquette and perhaps up to UWM, I think that's the type of an urban transit system that would indeed serve a very valuable purpose to downtown residents. And clearly, we want to attract millennials to be downtown residents. And I think one of the untold or untalked about success stories of Milwaukee in recent years is the tremendous boom in terms of downtown residential. That's very important for the city. So would this serve a purpose in terms of making downtown a more attractive place to live and potentially, because millennials have shown a greater desire for urban living, be attractive to them? I think it would. I think the counter to that, however, is that everyone needs to understand we're starting with only 2 miles. And so this initial 2 miles is going to serve a rather limited purpose. It's going from the intermodal station to the Third Ward up to the East Point Commons area. So when you think about being able to use this to go to a Bucks game or being able to use it, again, if you're in the Third Ward and you want to go hit some bars in Brady Street and hop it for that, someday that's a possibility. And you do have to start somewhere. And so putting this initial 2 miles in the ground could lead to that. But at this point, the utility is going to be somewhat limited.
So to put it simply, the opposition is saying that they're worried about the amount of money going into this. They're worried about tax support that might have to be paid by people who live in Milwaukee. And you have some who are saying it's not serving the central city residents. So that's some of the objection. And it's fueled by conservative talk radio in this town, some conservative legislators. And evidently the Koch brothers which is interesting, are involved in this as well. Americans for Prosperity have been at the forefront of working up a petition drive and talking up the issue, the opposition.
Well, and so, Kathleen, the Public Policy Forum likes to steer very clear of politics. So I hesitate to give any political commentary, but let me tell you this. I just think it's a shame on both sides. I think it's one of the real frustrating elements that I've witnessed about Milwaukee is that an issue like transit, which should be debated on the merits, it should be debated with good cost-benefit metrics and so on, tends to turn into just this highly ideological and political issue. On both sides, because again, I hear some of the arguments coming from the pro-transit camp, touting the benefits of this little urban streetcar system as if we are talking about that comprehensive system that's going to get out to Waukesha County or down to Racine County. And it's not. So I think you're seeing a little bit of exaggeration on both sides. And I just wish we could have a calm, reasonable, rational discussion about transit and about the different types of transit that comprise a well-rounded, balanced system. You know, when we think about our automobiles, we think about how we need good local roads and streets. We need good county trunk highways like Port Washington Road and Silver Spring, and we need good interstate highways. And in many respects, that's the way we should be thinking about transit, yet we often don't.
And yet we did years and years and years ago in this city, didn't we?
We did. And interestingly, that's actually one of the points that's brought up against this. There are lots of people who say, well, we once had a streetcar and evidently it didn't work because we don't have it anymore. So why are we going to bring it back? And I think that has some fallacy to it because there's lots of different reasons that you would want to reconsider rail transit at this point in time. And it doesn't mean absolutely we should do it. But the fact that we once had it and don't have it anymore is not evidence that it for some reason doesn't work.
So what's fueling it when you look at ALEC and why they would be against this, why conservative talk radio is against this? What is the reason for it? What fuels it, this massive petition? Why are people saying they don't want it?
I hate to try to get into other people's heads. I will say to you that in some respects, this conversation was altered. Originally, this was a $65 million proposal. So I think a very compelling argument could have been made that by putting up $10 million of local money, we can bring in $55 million of federal money and do something good for downtown Milwaukee. And it was less risk at that point. $10 million is still a lot of money. That changed when, due to a variety of circumstances, the local share went up to nearly $60 million. And so I think one of the sets of arguments we are hearing, right or wrong, is are there better city priorities? And so, again, the federal funds can't be used for anything else, but arguably these funds that are being raised by these TIF districts could be preserved for other uses in city government. And in fact, portions of those dollars go to other taxing bodies within Milwaukee County, including county government and Milwaukee Public Schools. And so on. So you can have, I think, a reasonable discussion about priorities. And so that's driving it. But again, I think one of the central points here is that there is this perception that so few people are going to be using this. And unless I'm a downtown resident or one who is taking the bus downtown and isn't using his or her car to get there or to get around downtown, I'm not going to use it. So why should my tax dollars go to support it?
Mm-hmm. How much money have we lost, federal money, in all these conversations over the past 20 years?
Well, the amount that we've lost was $48 million. So of that $289, $48 just because of inaction went back to Washington and was spent someplace else on somebody else's transit projects. There was a grand compromise. There was an original plan to essentially use the $241 to build a light rail line essentially between downtown and the Milwaukee County Zoo. That was killed in a last-minute maneuver having to do with the state budget back in 1997. And a couple of years after that, then Mayor Norquist, then County Executive Ament, and then Governor Thompson reached an agreement to preserve $91 million of the $241 for transit in Milwaukee. But they used the other $150 million. So the Sixth Street Viaduct that we use all the time, that was some of the money went into that. Some of it went into the update of the Marquette Interchange project. The State Park adjacent to the Summerfest grounds, believe it or not, was a recipient of some of those dollars. So those dollars were used. However, they certainly were not used for a mass transit purpose. And so that's still the rub here, is that we're still fighting almost 25 years later about what to do to improve transit in Milwaukee. And in the meantime, lots of other cities have built bus rapid transit systems and light rail systems and streetcar systems, and in some cases, all three that complement one another very nicely.
But we sure have a good-looking 6th Street Viaduct.
We do indeed.
I mean, it's fancy.
It is.
Yeah. And in terms of, you've lived in a lot of different places and you know this issue nationally. We'll go national with this in a moment, too, in our discussion. But how important is all of this to attracting business to a metropolitan area, for keeping businesses here, for expanding businesses?
So I would argue that having a highly functioning modern transit system is critical. It's critical from a workforce development perspective. It's critical from an image of a city and so on. I think where it becomes a more difficult question is, you know, is a two-mile streetcar line going to be that critical? I can't answer that question. I will say to you that in recent days, Johnson Controls has indicated that it's watching very closely what happens with a streetcar, that it is considering relocating its headquarters in downtown Milwaukee. There are other very prominent downtown business interests that have said, yes, this is important. So I think we can go by that to say that there is certainly an argument to be made that this would help in terms of retaining and attracting businesses to downtown. The counter, again, that I would argue is if we can't get past this original 2 miles, I do question how much really in the end, how much additional attractiveness this is going to add to our downtown from a business perspective. I think if we get that 6 or 8 miles, certainly there's greater potential to do that.
Can we get past the original downtown couple miles, or is it going to be a battle for the next 40 years?
Well, I think that's the $500 million question. And frankly, I think that's where this is a huge roll of the dice. Because if in the end, all we do end up with is this 2 miles, I think some will be questioning the investment. That is the deck of cards that the city has been dealt right now. They have $55 million of federal money. They're matching it to the greatest extent they can, and they're suggesting that this is all the streetcar we can afford right now, so let's start with this. I do think a counter argument could be made that it's a little risky to start with a line which on its own isn't going to be seen as serving a very vital purpose. And I can't guarantee you it's not. I mean, I think unless we do it, we're really not going to be sure. But I think it is a roll of the dice.
You are entirely fair-minded. And we'll take phone calls. We'll take them in a moment. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Rob Henken is our guest, president of the Public Policy Forum. We're talking about public transportation, particularly in Milwaukee, which has had a noticeable lack of real effective public transportation for a long time now. I don't know how keyed in you are to this Milwaukee streetcar debate, but it is a pretty big debate in this city. And the Common Council voted earlier this week to approve the project for a very small startup Milwaukee streetcar program that would serve just a downtown area about, 2.4 miles? Is that it? Something like that?
Yep.
So it's not a huge project by any stretch of the imagination. And as Rob said, there is some question about whether or not it's going to serve enough people to be worth the money. On the other hand, you do have a lot of money coming from the federal government that's designated for this. You want to lose it. And could it be the beginning of a project that will spark a lot of interest in expanded public transit that would go all over the city and beyond this county to bring people from the suburbs to jobs in the city and vice versa? Oh, we have a lot of phone calls. We'll start taking them in just one moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So let's continue. We're talking about the Milwaukee streetcar and the broader issue of public transit in this city and others in the country. We'll eventually go to the country. Mike in Madison is our first caller. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm completely opposed to this idea of a fixed rail streetcar system that's inflexible, that adds all of the electrified wires overhead. I mean, if the federal government gave us a $250 billion for horse and buggies, we could claim that they're going to create a whole bunch of jobs, too, and, you know, it's mass transit. I think the money would be better well spent on improving the bus system, hundreds of new routes and new buses that are flexible, they could be double-decker. They could go where the people were. They could be adjustable. Communities have spent tens of millions of dollars to remove all the overhead electrified electrical lines and cabling to clean up their downtowns. I mean, you look at a popular city, Minneapolis, St. Paul, you know, they've got overhead people passageway systems where people can go from one building to the next without going out into the snow and inclement weather. I think the whole concept is something that should have been thrown out just with the horse and buggy. And unless you rethink what a streetcar is and it doesn't have electrified wires overhead and a fixed rail, I'm completely against the idea.
All right, we got you. Rob.
Well, and I'm not going to debate the caller. I guess what I will say is this. I think it's a very legitimate conversation to have if you are looking, depending on what your transportation problem that you're looking to solve is, whether rail or bus is a better option. And so what we are seeing across the country is that if we are not looking at the purpose that the downtown streetcar is looking to address, which is downtown economic development, quite frankly, and not as much mass transit, but if indeed the problem is connecting suburban commuters with their jobs and connecting central city workers with their jobs in the suburbs, then really where other metro areas are beginning to invest their resources is in a concept called bus rapid transit, where you are essentially setting up the characteristics of a light rail line, so a dedicated exclusive right-of-way, station platforms that look like light rail stations, ticket dispensing machines that are off the bus, so it cuts down on the time. Essentially constructing a system that looks like a light rail line but using buses instead. And so that's still an expensive capital investment if you're going to dedicate the exclusive right-of-way, but it can be far less expensive than rail. And that's, I think, a very valid debate to have. I think where we are hearing the proponents of the streetcar argue that fixed rail is the right way to go in terms of a downtown connector as opposed to simply a rubber-tired trolley bus is the economic development potential. And I can't tell you if they're right or wrong, but their argument is that having that fixed rail system, knowing that this is a system that is going to stay, is going to make it that much more attractive in terms of economic development as opposed to having a bus or a trolley that could be discontinued or be moved to a different street at any given time.
Mike was talking about something that would appear to be kind of ugly. Are there a lot of overhead wires and electrical wires, and is it ugly looking?
There are overhead wires, but, you know, I could also make an argument that having a sleek streetcar running down the street, some would argue it's charming. The New Orleans streetcar, people would argue, is
charming.
They've
been around a long time, right?
Yeah, so it's in the eye of the beholder.
Okay. And let's go to Rick in Wauwatosa. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Rob. Kathleen, good insight. Here. You know, Mike kind of spoke of what I was thinking of, but, you know, it does seem like old technology, and I think that, I know for me, that's my objection. It seemed like maybe that's one of the reasons we're getting so much opposition to this thing is we're thinking of digging up the streets, there's the issues, who's going to pay for it, and all this. I know in San Francisco, they even have cool little trolley cars that are on wheels.
Well, and again, I think it's a legitimate conversation to have. We have tried a rubber-tired trolley bus in downtown Milwaukee with only modest success. I think that you know, one of the arguments that is also made is in terms of visitors. So to what extent is this going to be tied in with an overall downtown master plan that might include an expanded convention center, that might include a new arena? To what extent is one of our primary economic development objectives to bring more visitors and tourists to downtown Milwaukee? If indeed that is an objective and if indeed we can be successful, it has been found that for whatever reason, visitors to a city from out of state or out of town are more likely to want to hop on a streetcar where they can see on a map where it's going as opposed to a bus where they're sort of nervous they're going to get on the wrong bus and it's going to take them someplace they don't want to go. And so, rightly or wrongly, that's a benefit that's often touted in favor of rail as opposed to buses.
Thanks, Rick. Pete in La Crosse. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
A few minutes ago, a caller mentioned that Minneapolis has skyways. The caller neglected to mention that Minneapolis also has a light rail system. It works quite well, at least it did for me, as far as staying in an outlying area and taking the light rail to downtown. Is it ugly? You know, some say the whole city is ugly. But nevertheless, it works very well. It's fast and it's affordable. And I think it's a great way to move workers from the outlying area to the downtown areas, not just the tourists. But light rail, I think it's a good solution to moving people. Thanks.
Thank you for the call.
And thank you, because I was actually going to make that point to the caller as well. But I think this also gives me another opportunity to hammer home the difference between a streetcar, a downtown streetcar circulator versus a light rail system more akin to Minneapolis, which started off by saying, look, let's connect our downtown to the Mall of America. And we can serve several points in between, including the airport. We can use this as a way to bring suburban commuters to park and rides and to hop the train and to come downtown. We can especially use it as a way to bring suburban commuters down to our new downtown baseball stadium, Target Field, which has a light rail station. There are two or three stations in the downtown area, so it serves and it is on city streets throughout much of downtown. So it does serve some of the purpose of a streetcar in terms of connecting different parts of downtown, but it does a lot more than that as well. And so, again, what we're talking about here as a starter system in Milwaukee is not that. And it's important to understand that. Doesn't mean don't do it. Doesn't mean you don't have to start somewhere. But it is a difference.
Also joining our conversation now is Eric Jaffe, who will give us a national perspective on many of these issues. Not that Rob doesn't have one as well. He's senior associate editor at City Lab, writes about transportation, crime, history, has a general interest in the science of city life. He's the author of Curious Madness and the King's Best Highway, and he lives in New York. And Eric, thank you very much for joining our conversation. Hi.
Thank you, Kathleen. It's very interesting so far.
It is, isn't it? I would imagine that you share some of the same concerns that Rob outlined, whether or not this is going to do a whole lot. It certainly doesn't address the issue in this city that is so needed, and that's a way to get people to work in the outlying areas and actually in the city, as a matter of fact, inexpensively and very quickly, some kind of large public transit system. It's fairly small.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree with some of the things Rob was just mentioning. I mean, one of the big knocks on the way modern streetcars are being used in cities is that they cater to tourists and economic development downtown, but that they don't actually provide much usefulness for everyday transit riders, everyday commuters. And what it comes down to is kind of how you design the system. Are these streetcars going to share lanes with regular cars, which means they could get caught in traffic? Are they going to run frequently the way you need good transit to in order for people to rely on it? And are they going to go somewhere that's actually going to connect to a larger transit network, or are they just going to remain around circulating around the convention center?
Mm-hmm. And when you look at, I think you highlighted New Orleans that has a fairly extensive streetcar system, and the cars run very often.
Yeah, so New Orleans, I mean, what's interesting about places like New Orleans is that's what you would consider kind of a legacy streetcar system. This has been, around for a long, long time, many decades, and for the most part in New Orleans, you get the streetcar running in its own dedicated lane. That means it can't get caught up in traffic as easily. It provides a much quicker ride, and you, by extension, you're enabled to run it more frequently. And again, becomes something that people can rely on to get from A to B in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Rob, if you were to build this small project here, it seems as though for it to be really effective, it would have to go up to UWM, and it'd be great if it went to other parts of the city. Because there is so much debate about this, can you see a point, and you can chime in on this too, I'm sure you're aware of the debate in this city, Eric, where this would be able to be expanded to be much more than this very small streetcar system, because it wouldn't be wildly effective unless it were larger?
Well, the potential is there. There's a federal program called TIGER. Forget what TIGER stands for. Eric probably knows. But at any rate, it was developed by the Obama administration. It's a very specific program that is intended for transit projects that can make the case not only on the basis of the more traditional elements like ridership, but also economic development potential, livability, et cetera. This was originally a $600 million per year program nationally. It was actually just cut by Congress to $500 million. We have applied for TIGER funds for this project before. We were denied. It is a very competitive process. But the mayor attests that he has been told by Federal Transit Administration officials that once we get some streetcar in the ground, we will have a much better chance of being able to access some of these TIGER funds. So, but it's a question mark. And who knows what's going to happen with this program if there is a Republican president in 2 years. So, mm-hmm. Unknown. even if we were successful in accessing Tiger money for these extensions, however, I think it's highly unlikely that they would ever pay for more than, say, 50% of the cost. And that means we are going to have to come up with additional local dollars or private dollars or some other source. So on the one hand, I think that there is some potential that once this gets started, people will see its potential and want more of it, and perhaps the political support will grow. And just as the mayor and his team came up with some innovative means of financing the original 2 miles, could they use TIF financing and other similar means to finance extensions? I think it's possible, but I also think it's a huge challenge. And I also think it could be argued that before starting this initial 2 miles, we ought to have a little bit more solid idea of where these additional dollars might come from in the future to do these extensions.
Eric, give us an idea of some of the splendid cities in this country that have been able to use perhaps a combination of very effective streetcars and light rail. They're so terrific that people are moving there because they don't have to use their cars as much. Industries are flocking to these places saying, we have our employees very happy because it's easy for them to get to work. And once they get to work, they can easily get around downtown. Do we have any such models?
I mean, transit does succeed in some places and not as much in others. I think one problem is kind of seeing light rail. One problem with the basic premise there is seeing light rail and streetcar as synonymous. They're quite different. I mean, they might look the same, and you could design them to do something similar. But as one of your callers pointed out, light rail often goes deep into the suburbs. It's usually a longer line. It's usually considered something more reliable for commuters, and it's usually something that does not share a lane with regular traffic. So that, again, enables a swifter trip, a more reliable trip for people, which in turn kind of helps raise more money to generate better operations. So one of the studies that was recently done that I actually just wrote about today was a couple of researchers looked at the different ridership factors that attracted people either to light rail or to streetcars. And with light rail, there was very standard transit-oriented factors, such as they were near employment centers, the service ran very frequently, they made connections to very local bus routes so that people could access other parts of the city,
mm-hmm.
and they became transfer hubs. But when they looked at streetcars in particular, the only thing that really stuck out was that they were located near these special trip attractors. That means tourist destinations. It means convention centers. It means sports arenas. And it means they're very limited in what they can accomplish in a downtown setting, and that's largely because they need to be financed through the economic development.
Mm-hmm. But if you had, in the city of Milwaukee, many businesses saying they really think that it would help their businesses, that some maybe even are thinking of relocating to downtown because of a streetcar, if you have quite a bit of federal money that is earmarked for that purpose and you have ways of getting other sources of money, would you say go ahead with it?
Sure, maybe, but you might have to think about how you're going to, once you get all these people downtown, if they can't move around very easily because the streetcar is not very efficient as actual public transit, then what are you going to do? Then you're going to have to bring in another system anyway. So why not start with the other system? I mean, there are alternatives that cities do use very, very well right now. Rob mentioned, I think he mentioned it before, bus rapid transit, but that's kind of a light rail competitor. At a very local sense, you could reconfigure the bus route. By doing that, you can get people from their jobs to their homes much more easily. A lot of our old bus systems used to automatically go through downtown, but that's not necessarily where all the job centers are these days. And another thing you can do is actually promote all-day frequency on your transit, such as your buses. If somebody needs to leave work in the middle of the day, but they rode the bus to work, sometimes they feel stuck. But if you have all-day frequent transit, at least every 15 minutes, then they can really look at that as their choice of mobility for all the time.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to Andy in Detroit. Hi, Andy.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So I actually have two questions. Number one, I'm kind of confused as to why there's such a controversy over the streetcar system, considering that the money has already been allocated. So it's kind of, if Milwaukee doesn't use the money, it's going to go to someone else. Number two, I currently live in downtown Detroit, and Detroit currently has a people mover system that goes within the, that's within downtown. It's kind of a downtown loop, 3 mile loop in downtown. And I'm kind of afraid that if the streetcar project doesn't really expand out the first phase, you're going to have problems of poor ridership. That's kind of what the Detroit People Mover is experiencing right now. So why not have the first phase of the light streetcar system stop at UW-Milwaukee? So that way it's kind of serves as an anchor.
Mm. That's a good question. Rob?
Yeah, so taking your last question first, I an interesting dynamic here that is really overlooked is when this original starter route was designed, the focal point was the intermodal station in downtown Milwaukee. So it's essentially our Amtrak station that also serves Greyhound that was recently renovated into a very nice building. At the time, there was a strong hope and an assumption that we were going to also put into place a commuter rail system that was going to connect Milwaukee with Racine and Kenosha counties. And at that time, there was the hope that we were going to have an Amtrak connection between Milwaukee and Madison, and also we were going to improve the Amtrak service between Milwaukee and Chicago to high-speed rail service. Had all of those things happened, then the notion of having your starter line revolve around that intermodal station and be able to bring people who are going to arrive in downtown Milwaukee without cars and give them a way to get to their downtown destination via a streetcar, that made a lot of sense. Through no fault of the mayor, the Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee commuter rail didn't happen. The high-speed rail didn't happen. And so But the route planning had already extended to the point that there was essentially no turning back. So I think that's one of the reasons that we have this initial route and that we're trying to make do with it. But I think it makes the imperative to expand it that much greater.
Mm-hmm. Are there many other cities, Eric, when you look at this nationally, that seem to be as inept at planning this and sticking with a plan and coming up with irregular funds and not giving money back to the government when it was designated for mass transit, that appear to be as inept as we are in Wisconsin?
Well, I don't want to call you inept for sure.
Well, we're not in so many ways. Just on this particular issue, that's the only one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this discussion. You're not having this discussion alone. I mean, every place that's kind of starting that's going with a starter streetcar line with some federal funding is having this exact conversation about, okay, so how do we get the rest of the money to expand it? And often they're coming up empty. I mean, I'm thinking of Kansas City, for example, which recently opened a line a couple miles long, and they had these grand expansion plans because that was what they were going to try to hope and turn toward as a primary transit system. But they couldn't materialize that expansion, and now they don't really know what they have on their hands. They have a couple-mile line that you could probably walk in about the same amount of time as the car gets there, and they don't really know what to do. Of course, they're going to keep pushing for additional funding, but that's a difficult battle because, as you know, it's a difficult battle the first time around. And if you have an incomplete system like many of these starter systems are, it's an even tougher battle because people say, well, where's the benefits?
Yeah. More phone calls in a moment. 800-486-8655, our number. Rob Henken, president of the Public Policy Forum, and Eric Jaffe, senior associate editor at CityLab, our guest this hour as we talk about the Milwaukee streetcar and about mass transit in southeastern Wisconsin. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Andy, thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Joseph next in Milwaukee. Hi, Joseph.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm slightly in favor of it. I see problems with it, but I was on a committee years ago. I live in Bayview, and we were trying to use those rail lines before they built 794. At least two of them be saved, that they would run a commuter line from the airport to downtown that would work with it. My sister-in-law works at one of the airport hotels, and she always complained that the conventions don't give them that much, and every when I go to my daughter's house in Virginia, it seems like the downtown is connected with all the way out to where she lives in Herndon, and it just seems that people aren't just the airport is one area and the downtown is one area and UWM is another area that there's somehow a connection. And like I said, it seems like we don't succeed. You talk to the old timers that were before me, and they were talking about in East Troy that trolley at one time ran out there, and they said the reason they got rid of it was it only averaged 45 miles, and now they put one of those articles a few years ago about that now the freeway going out to East Troy, if you go on rush hour, you average 35 miles an hour, so
right.
You're not that much ahead as soon as because of the congestion. So it just to me it seems like if you had some place that you could park and use it, it'd be fine, and it'd be a little bit slow and awkward, like they brought up, if it's all on city streets. But I can remember when
All right, I need to hold you there because we're getting really short on time and lots of calls, Rob.
I've had a lot of chance to reflect on where we've been over the past 20 years
sure.
with this.
Right, because you've been with it 20
yeah,
years.
One of the ironies here is the caller brought up the airport. And the reason that the original proposal did not contemplate the airport was because the money was designated for use in the east-west corridor. And the east-west corridor did not extend as far south as the airport. I happen to think that if the first light rail proposal had been downtown to the airport, serving several important destinations in between, and that's how St. Louis got started with its light rail line, that perhaps we would have had a different outcome. But that's just one twist. The way the federal legislation was written was you have to do it in a corridor, and so that wouldn't have worked.
Are we looking at substantial problems between what actually exists in communities throughout the country and public transit needs are and what gets written up in Washington that might be not what the needs are, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. I think a lot of sometimes a problem that cities will face is that they will look at the federal money, and I'm not saying necessarily Milwaukee's doing this, but they'll look at the federal money, and it'll be very tempting, and they will immediately leap to expand their transit network, when in fact riders might be better served if this money was kind of refunneled back to the way the network is operated, making buses and whatever trains do exist run more frequently, reconfiguring them so that they actually go to the places people need to access. And this vision that we always need to be kind of expanding and looking at the next thing is great. We do need some of that, but by forgetting that what we do have needs to run well, we kind of sometimes risk overlooking that too.
Yeah. Let's go to Joanne in West Dallas. Hi.
Hi, thank you. Your guest kind of explained about the original route, and my question is, I live in West Allis, and so many times I'd love to go to the Milwaukee Rep or Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, but I'm kind of disabled and can't get from a parking garage to the facility, and it's easier to get on a train and go to Ravinia, where the train drops you right at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was some kind of a trolley or whatever, if they reconfigured the route eventually, there are so many places downtown I'd love to go to rather than going to Illinois.
Rob?
Yeah, I think without question, I think that type of a system would be very attractive to lots of people, and that again, we tend to think about would I use it every day, as opposed to, well, boy, are there some uses that I would have for this? And given that, is it a worthwhile investment? Again, I guess the only thing I would say to you, and stay tuned because the Public Policy Forum actually will be releasing a report by the end of February on bus rapid transit, and so it doesn't necessarily have to be a train. I think the type of service that the caller is suggesting. A convenient, fast service where the transit vehicle isn't competing with the automobile, and it's sleek and it's comfortable. That hypothetically could also be accomplished with buses.
Mm-hmm. You must be more than a bit frustrated to have been here so many years and seen so little. There are a lot of other things, good things that are happening. I love it here, but on this issue.
It's frustrating. I guess one of the things that I will say that tempers my frustration is that it, admittedly, when we think about our traffic congestion levels here in Milwaukee, we're still very fortunate.
Yes, we are.
And when we think about cities that really rely on rapid transit, it tends to be those cities that do have the heaviest levels of congestion. And so it's you know, you can argue that had we, again, made the necessary investments in our bus system over the years, that it wouldn't be as disappointing that we haven't been able to get together our act together on rail.
Thanks very much. We'll talk to you after that report comes out. Rob Henken is president of the Public Policy Forum. Just got started really with you, Eric. We'd like to talk to you again sometime soon. Eric Jaffe, thank you. Senior Associate Editor at City Lab. Thanks to Scotty Myers for producing this hour, and to Scotty as well for on-air production in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. We have news coming up, and we'll return and talk about LBJ.